Now we are continuing in our series through the Gospel of Mark. This morning we come to Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 32. So I'll ask you to please turn in your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 9. Starting in verse 14, hear now the eternal living word of God. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you. For he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy. And he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." They went on from there and passed through Galilee. And he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. This is the word of the Lord. The Italian painter of the Renaissance, Raphael, has a painting that is hanging in the Vatican Gallery. It's his last work, which some believe is his greatest. And this painting depicts a dual scene of the Mountain of Transfiguration and the valley below. The top portion of this painting depicts the glorious transfigured Christ radiating the light of God, the glory of God, before his disciples in the presence of Moses and Elijah, like we learned about last week. But on the bottom of the painting, this is the scene below of a demon-possessed boy and his father, and the rest of the disciples arguing with the scribes. And Raphael here beautifully depicts the contrast between the glorious Christ on top of the mountain and the ugly, troubled world that waits for him below. In our passage this morning, we see the transition of Jesus and his disciples coming down from the radiant glory of the Lord to be presented with the troubled and broken world below. A world full of sin and brokenness. A world with a thorough and absolute need of Jesus. And when he comes down, he shows that his disciples, the demon-possessed boy, the boy's father, and everyone else are completely dependent upon God in Christ for everything. And that includes you. You are completely dependent upon God in Christ for everything. You can't do anything good without him. Our passage this morning begins when Jesus and his inner circle, the three disciples that he takes to the Mountain of Transfiguration, Peter, John, and James, when they arrive at the bottom of the mountain. And when they get there, to the rest of the disciples, they were surrounded by a large crowd, and the scribes were arguing with them. And when the crowd saw Jesus, they were greatly amazed, and they ran over to him. This is the first time in Mark's Gospels that people were amazed just upon seeing Jesus. Usually they were amazed after he performed some miracle or after in response to his teaching. But this time it's just on him showing up, probably in anticipation of him performing a miracle. But Jesus asked his disciples, what were the scribes arguing with them about? And then a man from the crowd answers him in verse 17. Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. The issue that caused the argument was the fact that Jesus, the disciples of Jesus, could not cast out the demon out of this boy. And so coming down from the Mountain of Transfiguration, coming down from this moment of radiating the glory of God, Jesus enters this troubled world where the need for him is clear. And Jesus responds to the explanation by the boy's father in verse 19, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. The disciples couldn't cast out the demon because they lacked faith. And Jesus is lamenting this fact. And then tells the people to bring the boy to him. And when they do, the spirit within the boy sees Jesus and immediately sends the child into convulsions, throwing him to the ground so that he is rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And so Jesus asked this father, how long has this been happening to him? And he responds, from childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now Jesus knows how long this has been happening, but he's asking this to draw this man out. He wants this man to pour out his heart. This father has watched his son suffer for years. The demon has thrown him in the fires and the water trying to kill him. And so this would have been an immense burden on this father as much as the son. And he is asking Jesus now if he can do anything to have compassion on them, to help them, to free them from this suffering. But his faith seems to have been shaken by the lack of success by the disciples. He just watched them try without any success in doing this. And now he's saying to Jesus, if you can do it. And so Jesus responds in verse 23, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Now this verse has often been abused in the modern church, specifically with faith healers and name it and claim it preachers. They take it out of context and they use it to teach that all your wishes can come true if you just muster up enough faith. The pastor and theologian R.C. Sproul once told a story about this devout Christian man that he knew that had cerebral palsy. And the man told Dr. Sproul that some of his friends told him that they were going to heal him from his cerebral palsy. And so they laid hands on him and pronounced him healed. But the man still had cerebral palsy. So in response, they told him that the problem was that he didn't have enough faith. They said, if you have enough faith, then you'll be healed. And if you don't, then you will not. And so they told him if he wanted to be healed, he needed to have a stronger faith, more faith. But when he remained unhealed, they claimed that it must have been guilty of some heinous sin that was blocking him from getting healed. Then eventually they decided it was demon possession and they planned an exorcism. But afterwards, the man still had cerebral palsy. And this is how this verse is frequently abused. People are told if they're blind and they believe, then they will see. They're told if they're handicapped and they have enough faith, they will walk. But if they just pray and believe, But they still can't see. They still can't walk. This is just the way God works at times. The truth is, just because God can do something, and you believe that He can do it, doesn't mean that He will. Sometimes the answer is no. God's plan is not always to heal everyone. His plans often are to use people in their current situations. But the reason Jesus says this in this passage is because He sees the heart of this man. He sees this father of this demon-possessed boy has a kernel of faith. He sees the embers of faith, and He is challenging him to fan this belief into a flame. The purpose of this whole exchange with this man has been to call him into a full faith. And we see in verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." Every Christian has some level of authentic faith. But the level of our faith is not constant. It fluctuates. There are times of a high level of faith, times of strong faith, and there are times of low level, times of weak faith. And this includes you and I. And we see the solution in this situation. The solution is to seek Christ. First, you recognize your moments of weak faith, and then call out to Jesus to strengthen your faith. When you're filled with doubt, and fear and anxiety, go to God in prayer. Go to God in His Word. This father was strengthened by God. He called out to strengthen his faith. And now for him, it was through the physical presence of Jesus. But God strengthens our faith today by His Holy Spirit through prayer, through being immersed in the Word of God. And so what you see in this moment with Jesus and the father of this boy is dependence on Christ for faith. It's not only the work of God's Spirit to bring you to faith. You are dependent upon God and Christ to even have faith in the first place, but you are dependent upon God and Christ to strengthen your faith. Your faith is a journey, and it will continue to grow over time, but it's not a straight line. It has ups and downs. It has peaks and valleys. Your faith journey is more like going through a hike through a mountain range than a stroll through a meadow. And you are dependent on Christ for your faith to be strengthened. So then after this, after talking with this boy's father, Jesus sees a crowd running towards him, and so he rebukes the demon, saying, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Then after crying out and convulsing the boy terribly, the demon came out of him, and the boy just lay there like a corpse, to the point that most of the people thought that he was dead. But then Jesus takes him by the hand and lifts him up, and he arose and was alive and well. Jesus freed this boy from his prison of demon possession. He restored this boy to a healthy young boy. And he's once again showing his power over the demons, and he's showing the boy's dependency upon him to be restored. And then after this, when Jesus and his disciples were back at the house, the disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." While Jesus was on the mountaintop, displaying the glory of God to his inner circle, the rest of the disciples were attempting to cast out this demon, but failed. Every one of them, they couldn't do it. They were deceived into thinking that this power that Jesus had given them was somehow under their control, that they could now just cast out demons at will. They didn't think to stop and pray. They forgot that they were dependent upon God and Christ to do this, to cast out these demons. And when you recognize your dependence on God, this will bring you to pray. How often in your life do you try to do things in your own power, neglecting to go to God in prayer, forgetting your dependence upon God for everything, even the things that you are gifted in? You are still completely dependent upon God in Christ. Even your service here in the church, you are completely dependent upon God in Christ. No matter how skilled you are at something, no matter how long you've been doing, you're completely dependent upon God. It's so easy to fall into the trap of just doing things. Just thinking that your ability or your planning is going to make things work. But without the blessing of God, nothing you do will work. You are completely dependent upon God for everything, even to wake up this morning and breathe. So go to God in prayer for your needs, for your daily life. Go to God in prayer during your times of weak faith. Go to God in prayer when everything is going well and praise Him. Go to God in prayer during times of worry, stress, fear, failure. When you're having trouble at work and home, when everything in your life is going great, go to God in prayer because you are completely dependent upon God in Christ for everything. And He is good. He loves you. Any struggles that you have in your life, He can use them for good. He can use them to refine you, to strengthen your faith. God used the struggles of this demon-possessed boy to strengthen the faith of his father. He used the failures of the disciples to cast out the demon to strengthen their faith. Recognizing your complete dependence upon God for everything means you should go to Him for everything. He is there for you. He will give you the faith you need. He will give you the grace you need. He will give you the love you need because He loves you and He has compassion on you. Your difficulties in life aren't always a punishment. They can simply be the consequence of being a sinner in a broken world. But God uses them to strengthen you and to bring you to realize your dependency on Him. And so after Jesus tells this to His disciples, they go along and they pass through Galilee. And Jesus didn't want anyone to know, so that way a crowd wouldn't gather and He could teach His disciples privately. And we see in verse 32, He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill Him. And when He is killed, after 3 days He will rise." Jesus is once again teaching them what His mission on earth is ultimately going to bring about. This isn't the first time, and this won't be His last. But the disciples still don't understand, because Jesus hasn't given them full understanding yet. They are completely dependent on God to understand the things of God. Their dependency on God and Christ is clear throughout Mark's whole gospel. Your dependency on God and Christ is clear throughout your life if you just think about it. But here, Jesus is teaching about the ultimate dependence on Him. Your dependence on Him for your salvation. Now, Jesus again refers to Himself as His favorite title, the Son of Man. And this is a heavenly, divine figure from Daniel 7. And this figure is also human. And He is given an everlasting kingdom. But Jesus is saying that this Son of Man, this heavenly King who will reign forever, is Him. He is this King. But first, before He reigns over everything, He is going to be delivered into the hands of men and they will kill Him. And then after 3 days He will rise from the dead. And this is the pinnacle of His mission. This is God's plan for salvation. Jesus is doing this because it is God's will. And you are completely dependent upon Him doing this to be saved. Without Jesus dying in your place, you are without hope. You are left in your sins. You are under the wrath of God. You need a substitute. You need someone to take the punishment of your sins in your place. And only Jesus can do this. You are completely dependent upon Him for the forgiveness of your sins. Nothing you can do yourself can earn this. There's no amount of money in the world that can buy your salvation. There's no amount of intelligence or strength that can win your salvation. There's nothing you can do, no amount of effort that can gain it. You are completely dependent upon God in Christ. Without Jesus living the perfectly righteous life in your place, you are without righteousness before God. You are a sinner, and even with your sins forgiven, you need a perfect righteousness before God. You need a life lived in a positive, sinless state. And only the righteousness of Christ can provide that for you. You are completely dependent upon the righteousness of Christ. And it's through faith in Him that your sins are transferred to Jesus and punished on the cross. And it's through faith in Him that His righteousness is transferred to you. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that your salvation is completely dependent upon Him? If not, if you struggle with this, ask God to strengthen your faith. Tell Him you believe. Help your unbelief. If you have a loved one who is struggling with their faith in Christ or doesn't have faith, pray for God to give them faith. They are completely dependent upon God for faith. They are completely dependent upon God for their salvation and everything. And this goes not only for individuals, but for God's people collectively, for His church. We, as a church, are completely dependent upon God in Christ for everything. Everything we do as a church should be bathed in prayer, going to Him and asking Him to bless our efforts, asking Him to guide our decisions, asking Him to give us peace and power and wisdom as only He can. The church that is not dependent upon Christ is like the disciples trying to cast out the demons by their own power. It's only through Christ that the church prevails. It's only through Christ that we can accomplish anything, because we are dependent upon God in Christ for everything. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come this morning knowing that we are dependent upon You. We are dependent upon You for life. We are dependent upon You for salvation. We are dependent upon You for everything that we have and everything that we do in this world. So Lord, we ask that You help us and guide us and strengthen us. We believe, Lord, help our unbelief. Draw us near to You, that we will rely on You and Your power in everything we do. That You would strengthen our faith, that we would continue down the path that You have called us. That we would do everything according to Your will. That we would rely on You and Your Son, Jesus Christ, in all our efforts, in our daily life, in the small things and in the big things. And we would know that everything good that we do is for You and Your glory and by You alone. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.